Welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. I am Triforce Todd. Join me today is Wario Will.
Again, they had to go and win this topic again. Like, why? The science has been proven, and many people have voted. But why is it the chicken has to beat the egg? Why?
Yeah. So, for those of you who don't understand Will's sadness, the Splatfest was last weekend, and it was the chicken versus the egg. And of course, last week we had our re-debate over what came first, the chicken or the egg. I'm team chicken, Tyler and Will were team egg, and chicken won. Handily, decisively, epically, royally, superbly, magnificently, Todd-illy. And so yeah, I'm going to be gloating all night long.
Jeez Louise, just like, can't believe it. Like, look at the stats. It's almost pretty much as, like, even, like, pretty much the same team wins as well as the solo wins. It's like, it almost like history repeats itself. Why, people? Why?
Because, well, don't you know the song? The song. History repeats itself. You fight and you succeed. You're the best around. Nothing's ever gonna bring you down. You're the best around. Yeah, see, that's right. I bring the songs to the podcast
shut up,
too.
Shut up.
Will, don't be such a chicken.
All right. I'm waiting until the next Splatfest. Yeah. We'll go away because we still have let's like check that like three more Splatfests until like March, until March 2021.
But yes, now if you're wondering where Tellius Tyler's is to take his lumps and be spoon fed some nice chicken products from KFC. He's not here tonight. He's taking the night off, which is totally fine. And sadly, we couldn't get our dear friend Keith back. So it's just going to be me and Will tonight, which is fine because I can just make fun of Will all night and I will feel no shame at all.
Oh, dude, if you want to bring shame, please allow me to go and talk. I'll talk to Sarah and Kagura the entire night. I do not mind that.
That's fine. Remember, I can mute you so easily. And I've got a lot of pent-up frustration, as you know. So I've got to take it out on somebody, Will. But I, as the benevolent host that I am, I will move on because we do have some interesting things to talk about tonight, including a main event about the future of the Switch because it might be coming a little bit clearer, a direct that was anything but, and some other things. So we're going to start off, of course, with what have you been playing? And I'm going to start because, of course, I reviewed the Samurai Jack Battle Through Time game. I had only played it a few hours the last podcast. I did beat the game, and I have my review up on the website, and I'm sad to say that this game is rather average. And I was hoping that I was just the beginning levels that I was, you know, not enjoying, but yeah. By the time I got to the end, Will, I kid you not, I was just begging for it to be over. And that's sad, because, you know, I love Samurai Jack. I reviewed the fifth season here on Outer Haven. I've watched the original seasons faithfully. I still have fond memories of a lot of the episodes. And I was really looking forward to this game, but they had such potential with certain things. And then they blew it, in my opinion. And it's sad. Like, for example, in my review, I note that they had the original voice cast outside of the original voice of Aku and Mako. And the only characters that really got a chance to shine were Jack, Aushi, and Aku. And you're like, well, wait a minute, Todd. Isn't that kind of the point? Well, yes and no. Yes, they should have been the focus, and they absolutely were. And they had some really good scenes, absolutely. Phil LaMarr is still amazing. And yet, they did a voice actor's trailer, if you will, showcasing the Scotsman, his daughters, Damongo, and Rothschild. And yet, all of those characters have a limited set of lines throughout the entire game, and yet they show up throughout the entire game. But it's like they do like the whole you say like one thing, but yet the text is reading something else. It's like a Fire Emblem thing, you know, or like how it used to be. And it sucks because you have Rob freaking Paulson doing Rothschild, and he has one line in this first cutscene, like two lines in his last cutscene. And then every other time you meet him, he says something like, "Oh, Jack, old boy," and that's it. Like, that's it. He says lines in text that are totally different, and yet I'm like, you have them there, can't have him read the lines? I mean, my gosh. So, and then like Domongo, who was of course one of the greatest samurai Jack villains, he says like the same five lines in like six battles because he's like a mini boss. And so you fight him all these times, and you keep saying, "You think you can defeat my master?" And he just says that over and over and over. And I'm just like, say some new lines. You have the guy there. So, and then that was the other problem I had was that, A, there was only nine levels, which in the context of this game was not a lot. And the boss fights were not as epic as they probably should have been. And then, like, they had mini boss fights that were so repetitive, you were, like, begging to be done with them by the time it was over. Like, with Demongo, or if you remember the ninja episode, they had the ninja show up, like, all the time, which is dumb because he only showed up once in the original Samurai Jack series. So it was like, why? Then other boss fights were fine, and yet then other times they were, like, so scrunched together, it's like they were begging you to lose. You know, like I, it, like a great example is the final fight with Aku. You have a shop with Da Samurai, who also barely says anything. And I loaded up on all my items. I blew through all my cash, and I'm like, I'm fully stocked to face Aku. And then I have three levels of bad guys to deal with, all with varying levels of difficulty. I blow through all my items, and now I gotta go face Aku. Like, really? Like, no, that's gosh. And then. Arguably the worst part was that Jack had skill trees. All right. Well, now on the surface this is fine. I mean, this is like every major RPG. You know, you build your character the way you want. The problem was is that you had like six or seven items you had to collect. Two of them were the main focus of the upgrades, and then one of them didn't come out as frequently. And these skill trees are massive. Like, I'm talking like 20, 30 per branch, if you will, and yet you only get so much of one item throughout the entire game, and yet you're supposed to fill these all out? How does that work exactly? So, there was just a lot of redundancy and broken systems, and the combat was fine, but it was repetitive, and it had the Legend of Zelda breaking items gimmick. Totally killed my mojo. It really did. And if you didn't repair the items in time, then they shattered, and of course now you're stuck with like 100 arrows, but you don't have a bow to shoot them with. I'm like, oh gosh.
Oh,
So,
really?
and then there were other like smaller aspects, like you could get Jack a gun, and I'm like, Jack really doesn't use guns outside that one time in season 5, and yet they made it look like he had wielded it his whole life, and I'm like, eh, not really. And it's just these other little elements where it just weighed the game down, and like the team at Solial and Adult Swim, like they were like saying like, "Oh yeah, we made this like fun and fast and energetic," and I'm like, I played on the middle of the road difficulty, the samurai setting, and I was struggling in some areas, I was blasting through others, and it was not delivering the Samurai Jack experience I felt it could have did not. Some things again it did great, like with the voice acting. They even made sense within the story. Like this made it feel like it was truly a part of the story, including playing cutscenes from the show. And it was great. And again, I loved having the original voice cast, but there were so many things that they could have just taken that little extra effort, that little extra time, and got done. And remember, we said last week they had this game done last year. Like they were getting ready to release it, and then the pandemic happened, so they decided to delay it. So they could have taken that little extra time, gotten like all the voice actors back, and had them record the extra lines, and it would have made it such a greater experience. But they didn't, and I'm like, why? I mean, you had Samurai Jack. They don't cut corners in the show. That was one of the beautiful things about it. It never cuts corners, and yet I'm seeing all the cut corners here, and I'm like, ugh, why? So, I know people say, like, wow, you must have really hated this game. No, I didn't hate the game. There were entertaining aspects, but I felt it could have been so much better. And so I had to give it a 3 out of 5. And I didn't, I even told our boss, Keith, I didn't want to give it that score. I was like, maybe I should give it a 3.5. I mean, I can find another 0.5 of enjoyment, right? And I was like, no, that's not really how I feel. I feel very middle of the road. And Keith was like, Todd, it's not our job to make the people who made the game happy. It's to voice our opinions. And I'm like, you're right. So now you might play the game and you might like it. And that's fine. But for me, a diehard Samurai Jack fan who really was looking forward to this game, I saw a lot of flaws that weighed it down. So I have to give it a 3 out of 5.
So from what I'm seeing, like from what you described, it's unfortunately one of those unlicensed cash grabs, sadly. And regarding to the whole.
No, I gotta stop you there. It's not a cash grab because I think of like movie video game tie-ins. Like those are cash grabs because it's just like let's just throw a random game together and let's see if people buy it. There was clear effort put into this game, and there are again enjoyable aspects, and there is clearly nostalgia for all Samurai Jack fans. It's just they didn't go as far as they should have. It would have been like what's it? Oh, I don't know. Like, imagine if they made a Legend of Zelda game set in Breath of the Wild universe. Like, but you could only do, like, certain things. Like, a very skimped down Zelda game. You could see that there's effort in it because of the world and the detail, maybe even the story. But if it's not the Zelda feeling, then it loses its meaning. So it's kind of like that. Or you know, since Tyler's not here, it's the Paper Mario games. I can't,
I
Tyler.
see,
I can't.
I see, I see.
But no,
And
it's not. It's
yeah,
not.
regarding.
Definitely not a cash grab. But it was. It's not what it could have been if they just put that little more effort in.
Okay. And regarding to the whole budget, I think that's probably where they spent most of their money because, again, I can only imagine how it is to go and like license from like again all these great all-star cast like from Fillmore, Tara Strong, John DiMaggio, and of course
Yeah.
naturally Rob Paulsen. It's just like I can only imagine how, like if that's where the budget mostly went because like let's be real, these are all-star cast and they are not cheap. And if you want like a game that's like 44 fully voice cast like Fire Emblem Three Houses. Yeah, you gotta be willing to pony up. And last I checked, yeah, Adult Swim games ain't exactly selling much in dollar last I checked.
Yeah, but
So, but.
but I'll counter that by saying they hired them in the first place. Because if they really think of it, really want to boil this down, all they had to hire was Phil LaMarr, Tara Strong, and Greg Baldwin for Jack, Ashi, and Aku, respectively. They're the main focus of the story. And yet they went back and they got everyone to come and do these lines. And it's just like, you really could only pay them to do like 5 lines total? Really?
I mean, yeah, that is definitely a good point. Like, they couldn't like sprung an extra just to like I don't know, really like stretch out John DiMaggio's voice line with the Scotsman. I mean, like, come on, it's John DiMaggio. You couldn't give him, or even Rob Paulsen. Which, come on, it's Rob Paulsen. You
Oh, yeah.
couldn't give him a bit more lines to for the guy. Come on, he's a
Yeah.
legend. But yeah, it's sad to see like games such as this, like which really seems to be a very good fan service game for Jack for Samurai Jack fans. But yeah, apparently it just wasn't enough effort to like really show off the potential of it. Yeah.
And now, other than that, I did play Splatfest, although my weekend was so busy, I only got to do like maybe 3 hours total, and I'm being generous here. I'm pretty sure it was on like 2 to 2:50. And I swear I was having no luck. I won only a couple of times. I had some real heartbreakers, especially in the Shifty Station, and that one was hard. And then other times it was just like, how are we losing this badly? And then other times it'd be like, oh, we're totally gonna win, and then they pull back in like the last 30 seconds. I'm like, how did we lose that? I was having no, I literally had to stop because I was just getting so frustrated with just my personal performance. I felt I was doing okay, but it was just like, you know, those days when it just doesn't click. And so I was relieved that my lack of effort, if you will, did not cause Team Chicken to lose. So yeah. And then I'm still playing Fire Emblem Heroes, obviously. I hope to get back to Three Houses soon. It's just I've been so slammed with work. And but yeah, that's what I've been playing.
All right. So yeah, just a compliment on the Splatfest. I'm pretty much in the same boat myself. Like there were, I had like a couple matches where the times 10 multiplayer, which I only like won about like two matches or so. But yeah, I guess I had like some bad luck myself on like the battle domes, all that, the shitty stations. Like I've been having try like Splatfest Junior has always been very good to me, as I've mentioned in prior podcasts. But I also tried off like a little bit the ink roller and all that. But yeah, unfortunately for me, it did not like I did not have a good general line of streaks when I reached up to a king. So sadly for that, and of course naturally as the results show, Chicken won, Hank lost, and once again history repeats itself. Yada yada yada. So. It's until the next Splatfest, we'll see. But I still wonder what's going to be the next best Splatfest. And Nintendo, please bring back Love versus Money already. How many times are we going to say this? Okay, calming down, calming down.
Hey, I'm with you there. We can finally stick it to Tyler once and for all.
And as usual, I have been playing a bit of continuing with my Fall Guys playthroughs. Last night it wasn't really, but tonight, yeah, during today's Gamescom presentation, we finally get to see a bit of season two, which we're going medieval times, which you see like apparently raiding walls, going let's see, using drawbridges, a lot of very medieval activities that are deemed on those times, like. Also, the costumes, you become a wizard, a dragon, a Viking, all these different outfits. Like, okay, actual outfits of the medieval times. Like, okay, I can finally become a wizard, honey. And he's just, okay. I can, it seems to be a lot more things to add to the game. So until once that season two update comes up, we'll just have to wait and see. It's just like, I see like this one giant map, which is like, apparently two games in one. Is like holy moly, this thing may take some time. So yeah, season two Fall Guys is currently announced it, and once it comes out, I guess it comes out, so just follow on Mediatonic's Twitter account. And naturally as well, I have been playing Fire Emblem Heroes, just building on my orbs. Nothing is, we're pretty much back in the quiet period, but last I checked on the calendar, we are due in for a legendary banner on the 31st, so I expect that by the time we finish up with recording this podcast, we will get a trailer for the next legendary banner. So I'm currently just sitting up at like almost back to my usual 400 orbs. So
I'm
yeah,
almost at
here's
200 again.
hoping.
Also,
So
did
here's
you catch that the new story chapter kind of went Game of Thrones on us?
oh yeah. I actually yeah finally got myself up to date of yeah like how the king sacrificed his own sword for the Asgard heroes. Basically, a whole brother and sister. Just like how the sister's just so yes in anime terms very yandere about his brother. It's like, jeez Louise. Ways, how yandere just to be so obsessed with your own brother, like we can do this, rule this world together. Like,
Shut
jeez,
up,
yeah.
Cersei!
It is very Game of Thrones
Yeah.
reminiscent of it. So yeah, so it's pretty crazy. But again, like I've seen too much anime to know, like I to know where this is going. So I have seen my fair share of crazy ones. And again, you know about my likes for crazy ones all
Yes, I do. Yes, I do,
the
Will.
time.
I'll try not to judge, but it will be hard. So, yeah, but it's been an interesting gaming week, I guess you could say. And I've been hearing, like, I have heard so much stuff about Spiritfarer, the indie game we talked about last week. I've seen so many people praise it. I had someone on Twitter praise it. They said, like, it's such a beautiful game for my soul. And I'm like, that does honestly, I know, right? I'm like, when's the last time you heard of that? It certainly wasn't The Last of Us Part 2. And, so yeah, but I might have to try that because I could use some uplifting right now. But I'll have to finish Fire Emblem first. I gotta get through my Silver Snow run, but we'll see how it goes. Now, moving on to news. It was a very how do you want to say it? Unique. Yeah, because things yeah.
Yeah,
So
it's just like basically a Nintendo drop up another partner presentation out of nowhere, and let's just say I rather prefer Shin Megami Tensei 5 and Nocturne HD Remastered than over this.
yeah. So what we'll get into that as we break it up because there's a lot to break down. So it's time to go down the warp pipe. Now, if you recall last week we noted that there was rumors that we might get a new Nintendo Direct this week. And I even wrote about it for a site because this insider said that A, there's either going to be a new partner showcase, or B, we're going to get a full Direct because there's going to be a shareholders meeting in September, which still means we could obviously still get a pure Nintendo Direct by September like 15th. So fingers crossed for that. But on Wednesday, they randomly, out of nowhere, dropped another partner showcase. So much so that I found out about it on accident because they didn't drop it till like, what was it, like 9 or 10? And I saw a person, a dear friend of mine, post about a game reveal, and I'm like, oh, did they just announce this? And then I do some scrolling on Twitter. It's like, oh no, there was a Nintendo Direct Mini, and I'm like, here we go again. So I go into this, and I'm trying so hard. I'm trying so hard, Will, to be positive, be uplifting, and to give Nintendo the chance to succeed, and they fail so hard. Like, it's so hard to praise this. And even my friend who actually praised the last Nintendo Direct Mini was like, yeah, this wasn't, yeah, no. So let's briefly recap all that was revealed. There was the Kingdom Hearts Melody of Whatever game, the not Kingdom Hearts 3 for Switch that we're getting, and it's coming in November, so joy. Then there was that what was that Japanese drum game?
Oh, Taiko. Basically, we call it Taiko Master.
There you
Taiko
go.
Master.
So there was that, and then there was another rhythm game. What was it? The Just Dance later got revealed because, of course, they did, because we need to have another Just Dance game, obviously. So yeah. Oh, there was the harmonics. That was it. It was Fuser Harpo Harmonics. So that's three rhythm games in a row, and then they dropped the like the World of Tanks reveal.
World of Tanks. I mean, another free-to-play game. I mean, okay, but the fact that we have so much free-to-play games from Fortnite and Jala, now World of Tanks, okay.
Oh, it gets better though, because we also had Creed Legends. No, sorry, Creed Champions. There you go. Big
What?
Rumble Boxing. What the heck is this?
I mean, okay, if you're a Rocky fan,
Which I am.
sure, but this game, quote
No.
unquote, is like, really?
Yeah.
I mean,
Oh, and
okay, if you want to relive the moments, fine, but just having that when they were playing that gameplay, quote unquote, gameplay trailer with Rocky music, like, yeah, not really selling it to me.
yeah. And then, like, the worst part for me is that a few days before this, they announced that there's going to be a Karate Kid game. And I'm like, this will. These are the cash grabs. Trying to milk the money out of desperate fans who want the franchises to continue or something like that. And yes, I know that Cobra Kai is good on Netflix. I love the show, season 3 in 2021. Why are you making us wait so long? But, like, these video games, not so much. So, yeah, like, that was absolutely horrible. And then here's a weird one. The Saga Final Fantasy Legends trilogy.
Yeah, that one is an interesting pick. I mean, okay, we
Yep.
have a quote unquote Final Fantasy game here, which is the three games, which, okay, they never have, yeah, last I checked, they never have came stateside. Please correct me if I'm wrong,
No, I
but.
don't think they have ever been stateside. But, like, that's part of the problem is that these aren't like, Tales and certain other games where they've been upgraded to be for the Switch and like, new graphics and everything. They're the original games. And I'm like, I'm watching this, I'm like, who is going to want to play these very, very old school games, especially after all the amazing RPGs that we've played recently. I mean, it's not like Octopath where, there's a blend of 2D and 3D. It's literally just like ports of the original games from what, like 30 years ago? So, like,
And
that's
so,
a very odd choice. I'm like, wow.
I mean, what they did add, like, yeah, there are performance up, like, modifiers as well, like speed ups, all that, like, yada yada, like we did with Chrono Trigger. But yeah, with this thing, I mean, sure, if you're a retro gamer, okay, this is definitely up your alley. But like, for anybody else who wants to play like 30-year-old games, is like, it's definitely got that could be a hard sell if you ask me, because
Yeah,
it only goes if you're a Final Fantasy fan or if you're just like really want to play these games that have been exclusive in Japan.
that was weird. And then of course it is Just Dance, like I mentioned. And then the highlight of the whole show, which I'm not joking here, the highlight of the whole show was the reveal that we're getting Puyo Puyo Tetris 2 this December. Now, if you recall, I got the original one and I reviewed it for the Outer Haven. I really liked it. I thought it was adorable. The mix of Puyo Puyo and Tetris, which is of course two different, very different gameplay styles, was really fun. I'm actually tempted to go back to that just so I can enjoy something again. And I'm totally gonna get this when December comes. But when that is your highlight, Puyo Puyo Tetris, how sucky are you doing? I mean, because again, like it's like Will alluded to last time, as bad as it was, we at least had two Shin Megami Tensei titles unveiled, a cult classic and confirmation that 5 is coming in 2021. That was something for like a lot of people to hold on to. I don't think that there's as big a fan base for Puyo Puyo as there is for Shin Megami Tensei.
It's definitely interesting because, again, there are competitive scenes for Puyo Puyo Tetris. Like,
Course
have you
there's.
not seen pro players? But yeah, like when they announced it, like as the end at the topper, okay, that's like not really setting the bar high, ain't there, Nintendo? Because like, granted, the story of the original Puyo Puyo Tetris, like again, it was hilarious. It's just fun
Loved
characters, especially with that one guy. Like, I shall force myself upon this little girl. It's like what?
it.
It's like. Yeah, okay, you got some moments. Puyo Puyo Tetris has
It
opened
was
some moments. And there's
adorable.
gonna be a new storyline with this second game, which okay, that's great. That's great for our fans, but
Yeah, and added
like
multiplayer functions and like new cross battle modes and everything.
So yeah, okay, it's good. But that's only if you're a Puyo Puyo Tetris fans. To
Yes.
everybody else, is like, huh? This is definitely a more reserved on the casual market, granted, and like again, it's only meant for Puyo Puyo and Tetris fans, so it's not gonna like really grab anybody else per se. So, like compare like the last, yeah, I mean, I hate to make comparisons, but yeah, as I said, make comparisons to the last presentation when we had two Shin Megami Tensei games. Like again, Shin Megami Tensei is like the hardcore of the hardcore.
Yeah.
So like when they ended on that one, like that was at least a message that yeah, this thing was meant for like at least some of the hardcore fans, which okay makes hardcore fans happy. Now you go with this presentation, like a lot of rhythm games. I mean, sure you got Kingdom Hearts, which apparently is gonna be somehow gonna relate it into the thing canon, as you know, Tetsuya Nomura is, which some people are gonna be happy. And then of course you ended off with Puyo Puyo Tetris, which okay, like it's good. You're appealing to the casual market, so but is there anything else for the hardcore? Are you trying to bounce out from that first presentation? Is like, yeah, what are you doing?
Yeah, but there's also the other way of looking at this, and this ties into what Tyler was going to say when if he was on here, and it's like this was not a good showing of their partners, and right now, especially in 2020, their partners have not been coming through. Now, yes, part of it is the pandemic, and we totally get that. But remember, we were supposed to have Bravely Default 2 this year. We don't know if that's still coming. There were like Bayonetta was rumored to be coming. What about No More Heroes? That was supposed to be 2020. Is that now stopped? We don't know. And then, with this one, what one was exclusive? I don't even know if Puyo Puyo was exclusive. I'm pretty sure it's not.
It's on PS4 as well, last
There
I
you go.
checked.
So there you go. So like that's not even exclusive. So like what are you doing? Like, okay, Kingdom Hearts. I know that's multi-platform. Okay, Fuser, I know that one's multi-platform, and World of Tanks, that's free to play. That's already multi-platform. The drum game, that's no doubt going to be multi-platform. And if it's not, that's not the best one to say, oh, this is our exclusive. Yeah, who cares? Just Dance, that's multi-platform because it's Just Dance. The Rocky game, who cares if that was an exclusive? It's not. The Saga games, that might be exclusive, but still, like a 30-year-old game that's not upgraded, that's your exclusive, really? So, and that's actually available now. No, sorry. Oh, it's pre-purchase was already available. Yeah, but that's coming in December, and it's like, okay. So like, where is all the third parties? Because again, the Switch is doing so well. It's selling like hotcakes. It's got 61 million. This is not a Wii situation where the Wii is underpowered. They know, the third parties know that the Switch games can look good, play well, and get sales like Octopath, Rabbids, Bayonetta when it comes out, No More Heroes. So where is everybody? Like, these partner showcases, which they again said we're going to be doing more this year. If they're like this, we don't want them.
Yeah, it's definitely a varying in different kinds of quality, because again, first one, okay, you got Shin Megami Tensei and 5. I'm a happy camper and all the fans will, so okay, please, the hardcore. This one, a whole lot of rhythm games, and then you ended up with Puyo Puyo Tetris. Like, it's very average at best, and I'm being generous. So, like, if they're gonna, yeah, as you said, if there's gonna be showing more presentations down the line, like, what are they gonna show up next? I mean, okay, you got that, you kind of appeased to the hardcore, the first one, you appeased to the casual with a lot of rhythm games and with Puyo Puyo Tetris. So, what's gonna be the next theme for that next presentation? Is it gonna be, I don't know, shooters, for first party RPGs? Like, are you gonna try to keep a theme with this? And with this partner presentation, that is a lot of people are gonna criticize, because one, it is gonna be multi-platform, so it's not gonna be anything special to the Nintendo Switch. So why show off these things with the focus of, like, I don't know, aside from like time exclusives and all that? It's definitely, I do wonder, like, with these partner presentations, like, do they really want to, are they really want that support? Like, are they really trying to push these games for Nintendo Switch, even though it's going to be available on other systems? It definitely brings a lot of questions when I think about it.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. I mean, we were all mad at the first one, and we were trying to justify it with Shin Megami, which, again, you love because you're a big fan of the series. Tyler's played Apocalypse. I've never played any of them. So, like, that was definitely not the Switch, the partner showcase for me. And then, again, trying to do this one, I love Puyo Puyo. I thought that was a great game. And, I might have to go back and play it again, because it was that much fun for me. But, like, that's not, you know, your killer app to help sustain you in December, all right? And we still don't know what's going on with First Party. And even if we get that full Nintendo Direct, I don't know what they're going to show. And even if they did, what are we going to get, you know, a lot of, hey, it's coming in 2021 games, or hey, it's coming out October, November, December? Because right now, all we have is Pikmin 3 Deluxe on the last week of October. That's not enough. And these third-party games aren't giving a lot of confidence. So, like, we're honestly worried. I mean, this isn't just, like, fanboy complaining, or it's not that at all. We're worried because as great as the Switch is doing, like, sales-wise, especially because of, like, Animal Crossing, that won't last forever. And I know that's hard to believe, because New Horizons is way bigger than any of us thought it would be, but it won't last forever, okay?
Well, not forever, but it is a very good, general long period of a good title. I mean, it does satisfy it in the long term, because, again, with the free updates and, yeah, all that.
Well, I was referring more to the sales. Like, the sales, okay, like, okay, won't carry forever. Like, the last quarter where they sold, like, an extra 10 million, which boggled all of our minds, those sales won't continue. If they do more than, like, 3 million this next quarter, I'm going to be shocked. So,
we'll soon be at the point where we hit that plateau, like, when every system is going to be one-to-one for Animal Crossing sales, granted. So, it definitely, I do wonder myself as well. Like, what are they planning? Because, again, we asked that question. We also put that as our poll for our podcast. Like, are they keeping it close to the chest because they don't want to, like, impede on the coming new consoles of PS5 or Xbox Series X? Is just, what, like, wondering, what are they doing for, like, once those two next-gen systems comes out? Like, are they going to, like, try to steal thunder, as we hinted upon? Or just as really do got nothing for this 2020? They just got to skip it, so... It's just a lot of questions we keep on thinking.
Lots of questions, and that's the sad part, is that we have no answers. And at this point, we don't know if we're going to get a true Nintendo Direct or another partner showcase next, and that's constantly kind of horrifying because these last two have not bred confidence. So,
I don't know about you, but I enjoyed the first one.
I know, Will, the world knows, but for all of us non-Shin Megami Tensei fans, and again, your games are coming next year. So, that doesn't help in this year. And we don't even know when next year. It could be, like, November next year for all we know. All they said was 2021.
But, right, Because, but there is a technical loophole for that as well, because currently right now it is available in Japan. So if you anybody has a Japanese account, you actually can't download Shin Megami Tensei Nocturne right now.
Oh,
There
so
is
wait a minute.
that
5's already out in Japan. Oh, it's Nocturne. Okay, that's different. So,
loophole.
anyway, okay, we're gonna move on. I know it's hard, but we're gonna move on because there has been some Super Nintendo World news. Will, why don't you take it away?
So yes, it's not really much of a news, but like as you know, that over Nintendo, over in Japan, they have been making the Nintendo Land, but as of right now, they have a halted building due to obviously COVID-19 situation. But as last I checked as well, not too long ago, though, they have announced that they all have begun building on regarding to the Universal, yeah, you, I think it's Universal Studios, yeah, in Florida, last I checked, they are currently beginning stages of making Nintendo Land here in the stateside. So finally, they're finally breaking the foundation. So yeah, ho hopefully, like if the world situation improves upon, then finally we don't have to wait too much for Nintendo Land here in the stateside. So
And I have
that's
a, and
some bright news.
yeah, and I have an aunt who used to work there, so I probably will go down and hang out with her, and we'll go to Harry Potter World, and we'll go to Nintendo Land, and I will be a happy fanboy. And yes, I'm 30 years old, don't judge me. So, actually, it's funny that this actually ties into our next story about Pokemon Journeys. I saw a tweet the other day was, "Where were you when you first played your Pokemon?" We first played Pokemon or something like that, and I replied, "I was 4 years old. I got in Pokemon Blue, and I just started watching the anime, and I haven't stopped since." And he goes, "That's right. It doesn't matter how old you are, as long as you're still catching them all." I'm like, "Dang straight." So.
It kind of also we hit that kind of pinnacle as well because as you know Macaulay Culkin just turned 40 years old and his
That's
tweet is
frightening.
like do you want to feel old? I'm 40 years old. You're welcome. And it's like Macaulay Culkin, star of Homeland, back as a child star, now 40 years old. Yeah, now we're all feeling old now.
Yeah, I didn't realize he was that much older than me because I remember watching the original two Home Alones when I was growing up, and like those were like the films and all of that. But I do feel old, and I'm younger than him. So that's the way the world works. Now, speaking of how the world works, let's talk about Pokemon Journeys because as we've been noting, the next episodes for us here in America and around the world, outside of Japan, should be coming in September, but the current episodes are still go are the new episodes are already airing in Japan. Well, somebody found out that there was a censorship dub between the versions, and we're like, okay, what was it this time? In one of the episodes, that was the Score Bunny, the first one of the first Score Bunny episodes, episode 4, there was a train attendant, and he had a certain look about him. And you're like, well, what do you mean he has a certain look about him? Was it like his little, like blackface or anything? No. They, if you recall, they actually had that issue with the Alola series. But no, he apparently had a Hitler mustache. And you're like, so? No, that's it. That's literally everything. Like someone thought that when they brought it over that the Hitler mustache would set people off when it's a mustache. All right. I mean, yes, it may be called the Hitler mustache, but people actually have that mustache in real life, and we don't all associate them with Hitler. So they actually just erased the mustache for that one, and it's just one guy in one scene. It's not like it was a main character or a rival or anything else. It was a train attendant that Ash and Go talk to, and then he's gone. You never see him again. And yet he, in the, I guess in Japanese version, he had the Hitler mustache, and in the American version, he did not. It's like, okay.
Again, as the old saying goes, the devil's in the details, and
Yep.
unfortunately, some people really look into it too much. Like, okay, just to avoid the whole debacle and outcry, we're gonna go and do some slight ending. It's really reminding me back of the whole 4Kids days back then, and of course, like. Do not get me started on the whole sandwich thing, which they replace over a freaking onigiri rice ball. But yeah, just how like over small details. I mean, if it's like I don't know, we're going to like localization, fine. But when you like really connected to like cultural association, association like that. Like okay, you can relate that to something like Hitler. Like, come on, Charlie Chaplin. Like, it is like, sure, it is the guy who made that style mustache famous, but it's not. It's just a mustache. It has no significance to relating to that kind of a serious theme at all.
Yeah.
It's like, come on, it's a mustache style. Like, you don't see me, like, I don't know, like having the devil, the quote-unquote devil beard, or all these different mustaches or beards, and you call them, like, I don't know, they are the spawn of the devil, or something of that sort. It's like, come on, people.
Now, if this guy was evil, if he had black hair, he did not, he had brown hair, and, you know, if he was, like, a villainous character, then, yeah, you could say, like, oh, they're trying to make him look like Hitler. That I would have been okay with, because it's like, you know, that's maybe pushing it a little too far. He was a train attendant!
Mm-hmm.
All right, like, you grow up. Now, there is a controversy that is ongoing that has not been confirmed yet, but it's been teased. It's that Pokemon Journeys might evolve Pikachu.
What?
Yeah, I know. So apparently in the anime, they've been teasing a lot of stuff. Like, again, they're like 12 or so episodes ahead of where... No, that's not right. They're like 20 episodes ahead of where they are, we are right here in the States, because of how the Netflix deal works. So apparently in the anime, they're teasing that Pikachu might... They're teasing that Pikachu might evolve into Raichu, like through Thunderstone. And so a lot of people, including myself, are like, they better not.
I'm in that party. You do not mess with an iconic character like Pikachu.
No.
Especially I have carried the season for, I don't know, 30 years now? It's well, like...
Close.
But it's just... Yeah, if you're gonna evolve Pikachu... And, like, now of all times, like, yeah, you're just kind of killing one of the main appeals of the entire series. It's Pikachu. It's the icon, the poster boy, the poster Pokemon. And you'd want to change it to Raichu now?
No.
And for a new generation? No.
No,
definitely not. What are you doing? You shoot yourself in the foot if you do that.
Yeah, and remember, because of the laws of Pokemon, you cannot go back. So this is literally, you cannot undo this if you do it. And this actually kind of ties into something I noted, I think, a few weeks back, where they had an episode where Pikachu and Ash got into a fight because Ash was training with a Riolu more than he was training with Pikachu. And I'm like, Pikachu, been with him for how long? He has trained you to, allegedly, level 99, or 100 if you want. And everything, like, you know, he's you're his top Pokemon. You know that he loves you more than anything. He's training this Riolu because it's a new Pokemon, just like he's done with so many Pokemon before. And yet this one is where you draw the line of everything. And they had like a big fight, and then they like had like a lullaby thing going on, and it was weird. Again, I haven't seen it, but I saw all the spoilers on the various websites. And I'm like, okay, that was weird. But now they're like, oh, now Pikachu, after all this time, now he wants to be Raichu. Now Ash is okay with him evolving. That would be so stupid. You're losing your iconic face, because everything is about Pikachu in terms of branding. I mean, Ash is a big part, yes, but it's always, you know, it's Detective Pikachu. It's the Pikachu company. It's everything. It's all that. So try, and again, we're not saying he's evolved. Apparently that episode has not come yet, but they're teasing it, and fans are losing it because it's Pikachu. Don't mess with Pikachu! But the top of the journey starts today. No, it does not start today. It's been on for 20 plus years. And it's been Pikachu all the time. Pikachu rejected being a Raichu. Ash says he's never wanted Pikachu to evolve into Raichu because he loves his Pikachu. And that is the point. It's Ash and Pikachu forever. So stop it.
Pikachu. It's not Ash and Raichu. It's just, yeah. It doesn't even. Personally, for me, it doesn't flow off the tongue as well. Ash and Raichu is Ash and Pikachu. Like, yeah, that thing is much more. And of course, like, yeah, all the licensing. Like, yeah, from Hey You Pikachu, the whole Pikachu pet thing back in the days, and like, of course, Detective Pikachu. Like, it's just, it is synonymous with Pokemon. And you want to go, like, change that image right now of all times to, like, I don't know, half Raichu, like, Detective Raichu, which, that's awesome.
Detective Raichu, right.
And then all these, like, yeah, half Raichu as the quote-unquote cuddly Pokemon, which Raichu ain't exactly cuddly, quote-unquote.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, hopefully this is just rumors and not confirmed, but if you're gonna change Pikachu, you are doing something wrong.
Yeah. So we'll keep you updated on this, you know, just so we can either avoid disaster or mourn the loss of a cultural icon.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, think about it. Who was the first Pokemon in Smash Brothers? Pikachu.
Mm-hmm.
All right. When Pokemon did all of their movies, who were the shorts about? Pikachu.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's about to be about Raichu? I didn't think that. So, I don't know. I haven't seen the episodes, and this is just the internet speculation, but it is apparently being teased that Pikachu might evolve into Raichu, and we want to say no.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Keep your hands off my Pokemon. All right. So moving on now to our main event. Yeah, see, we didn't have much news this week. Actually, this is technically a news piece, but it's very important. So as you know, for the last several years now, almost since the Switch has launched, there have been rumors of an advanced form of the Switch. Now, of course, we already had the Nintendo Switch Lite, but that was just a more portable version that, you know, you can't put into a dock and everything. And now, then there were rumors of, like, the graphically upgraded, you know, slightly, you know, quality of life improved, et cetera, version. And Nintendo either denied it, poked it off, or whatever, but the rumors never stop. Well, there's a new rumor around because of Bloomberg, which is a very respected publication. And so we need to dissect what this means, what it could mean, and is this good for Nintendo? We're going to do this in a Nintendo discussion. Okay, so here's how it all breaks down. Apparently, an insider source went to Bloomberg, and they said the following, quote, "The specifications of the new machine have yet to be finalized, though the Kyoto-based company has looked into including more computing power and 4K high-definition graphics. People briefed on the strategy told Bloomberg News, asking not to be identified because it's private," end quote. Which automatically puts it at odds, because it's like, oh, it's private, but I'm going to tell you anyway. It's like, this is why no one trusts anybody anymore, okay? Because, you know, someone's going to get the idea to leak it to Bloomberg. So the key thing for me isn't just the computing power. It's that they're saying they're going to go for 4K high-definition graphics, which obviously means that it's going to have some serious computing power, or sorry, for graphical power. And the Switch is already in HD. Like, it's not a slouch. I mean, look at Breath of the Wild and certain other titles. You know, it's a good-looking console at times. Or console games. So for them to go 4K, this puts a lot of questions on how the, you know, the handheld version's gonna look and the TV version's gonna look. Ooh. And then there was the question about the games, and Bloomberg reported that according to their source, part of the reason that Nintendo has been holding off on delivering the new games in 2020 is part because of the pandemic, and then the other part is they know that they're gonna be launching this new one in possibly early 2021. And so they want to coincide the launch of the upgraded Switch with a bunch of new games, including casual and hardcore and et cetera, et cetera. And I heard one take that said it might pull like a new 3DS XL where it's only for that upgraded console, which I'm praying is not. And then the main article didn't kind of allude to that. So I'm thinking it might be they're just trying to make sure they have games to coincide with the launch, much like they did Link's Awakening with the Nintendo Switch Lite. But it's a curious thing for sure. And I don't know, and again, this is just a rumor, this is Bloomberg reporting it, this is not Nintendo confirmation. So, I don't know what to make of this.
Yeah, like, first things in regards to that whole possible aspect of 4K for Nintendo. Like, the Switch itself, as I checked, again, from 720p to at most 1080p at 30 frames per second, last I checked on the specs. And as far as certain, yes, that is the standard right now. Every system should be doing at least 1080p or at least the basic 30 frames, or at least try to push it to that 60 frames per second, which again, it's not really important, but it's only for those who really want that performance output. But to have Nintendo go on a 4K spectrum, that is going to be an interesting thing, because one, if they're going to really try to push this 4K visual, because again, Nintendo has never been about power. They never did. They've always been known to do their own things. But if they want, if this is true and they want to pursue that 4K output resolution, the first point is, is it going to affect the price? Because again, actually, if you want to go really output 4K visuals on Nintendo Switch is like, okay, that's a big step up from what you currently have right now, and it's gonna increase the price of this model like by how much? It's gonna be up to the point of like we don't even know the prices of the PS5 or Nintendo Xbox Series X yet, so it's gonna be up in those price ranges. That's one question I have, and if it's gonna be 4K, is like, is I don't know, will there be like auto improvements to like prior games, like I don't know, like upscaling visuals or of that sort. It's just like Nintendo's not, again, they're not known to be doing for all about performance or horsepower. So why would they want to go for 4K now? That's one thing. It's like of all times, like why now?
And then I alluded to this, but this kind of thing has happened before with the Nintendo 3DS, because they had the base 3DS, and then they had like the slightly more called the bigger version, the XL, and that was
Excel,
just
yeah.
a physical upgrade. That was just, hey, we're making giving you a bigger screen because that's what you wanted. And I almost kind of wish I had gotten that one eventually, because I like the idea of playing on a bigger screen. Then they had the new Nintendo 3DS and Nintendo 3DS XL, which was a graphical improvement, and then they had certain games that only were on those models, like Xenoblade Chronicles 3D, which did not look as good despite the graphical improvement, or the boosted graphical power of the handheld, and which is why we got it on the Switch. But then even like other games, now you're making it for two systems. You're making it for the base, and then you're making it for, hey, like this one will have the better graphical power. That's a lot of work. And so for this one, I don't know, because if they do pull a 3DS, that's going to tick a lot of people off, including me, because that didn't work for the 3DS, and it would not work for Switch. As bad as I don't want to say average, I mean HD is still HD, but as average in power as the Switch may be, a graphical boost will appeal to some, but not to all. Especially if, and this is based on my opinion, it'll probably be around $399, because the Switch itself was $300. And of course, it didn't come with the game, and so for the graphical boost, I could easily see them pushing, 300, or sorry, 400, and then of course with tax, and all you're getting is just a more graphically powerful and potentially other quality of life elements. Is that enough? I don't know. And then if there are games that work better on that version, and you're like kind of pushing people to get that version, that's, that's what's the word? Not compelling. Imposing your will. There we go. It's imposing your will to try and get, like, oh no, we know you like that Switch, but we want this one now. Like, this is your Switch. I'm sorry, didn't PlayStation and Xbox both do that? And they almost like drown themselves in all of their various versions, like the Xbox Series, or sorry, the Xbox One X, the Xbox One S, the digital only Xbox One. And it's like, which one's the real one? No one knows. And now there's the Xbox Series X, which kind of just sounds like an Xbox One X, but better. It's like, it's too complicated. All right? So it's like, that just feels, and like you said, well, Nintendo is about creativity, not about power. Now, they've pushed power in the past, like when they went from NES to SNES to N64, and then even to GameCube, but to a lesser extent. That was fine. We appreciated that. But we know you're never going to be the same as Xbox and PlayStation. That's fine. We don't ask that for you. We want the games, and we want the games to look and play well, which you do oh so well. So while, again, this is just speculation, we don't know if this is really real or not. It seems more than likely real, because this is a very persistent rumor. But if it is real, and if they are deep pushing 4K, and they're going to do other quality of life improvements, and if they are going to dedicate certain games to just that Switch system, that's going to hurt their game sales, that's going to hurt their console sales, and more, because you're singling out a section saying, you people are going to get the best, you all going to get the rest. That's not how it should work.
And if this thing is true, because again, a lot us many fans, including myself, like obviously that would be the next logical step for the Switch, is like a pro model, quote unquote. So, and it's as you said, like if you're gonna be pushing a pro model of Switch, it is gonna like divide people. And are you gonna make games exclusively? Like I don't know, Breath of the Wild 2 is gonna be running perfectly on the Switch Pro, and aside from the base Switch is like. Okay, so are you gonna want to buy a Switch Pro? And of course, naturally, with the whole account transfers, like Nintendo's account transfer thing has been finicky at most. But I mean, now they're getting better, but they're still also finicky. So if you're gonna ha be the owner of two Switches, like Yeah, I can't even transfer. It's gonna be troublesome because, yeah, Nintendo, you're not really be too customer friendly, quote unquote, as much as I want. We love you, but yeah, it's just on online components. It's just like there's a lot of questions to like ask yourself. Like, is this the right move? Do I want a Switch Pro model? And as I said, is there gonna be games exclusively to this model? Yeah, we've seen that with the whole 3DS new 3DS XL, and that thing didn't really work out well. So it's like, yeah, I would not recommend like making any exclusive titles. That's the obvious choice. Is like, do not make anything exclusive for Switch Pro. Just like, yeah, if you want that upscale, like something similar to like the PS4 Pro, then okay, it's like you have that option to upgrade for, and especially for players who do not have a Switch yet. So yeah, if you it would obviously make the first choice to buy the Switch Pro models since they don't have the normal Switch. But for those who do have the normal Switch models, like, yeah, just don't forget the millions and millions of people who bought the system at launch.
Yeah.
So just don't forget them.
Yeah, because again, there are 60, let's be generous, 62 million right now that are loving the Switch and loving its games and, the games you've actually released. And we're eager for the next batch. And if you are doing what is called our conspiracy theory to, postpone the release of some of these games to next year to coincide with the Switch launch, the Switch Pro launch, I understand that from a certain perspective, because again, you want to do what you did with the Lite and make sure you have a big killer app to prompt people to, go buy it. And I can understand it from a certain perspective. But then you're abandoning 61 million people to say, hey, just hold on until the next one comes out, in 2021. That's what, let's be generous, 6 months from now, and you'll be happy-ish around then. Well, no, we want to be happy right now, and you guys aren't doing much to, satiate all fans. You're doing little dinks and dunks and, surprise releases, some which are fine, some which aren't, and it's not enough. And so if the Switch Pro is like your focus versus the 61 million that are already here and helping make you a very successful 2020 despite the lack of games, that's a misrepresentation of priorities. So I don't know. Now again, this is all speculation. Nintendo has not confirmed this in any way, shape, or form. We could get a real Nintendo Direct next week that outlines the rest of the year, and we can all be happy. We're not betting on it. Okay. So we gotta work with what we have. And again, I would trust Bloomberg over, say, comicbook.com, which, they oftentimes post rumors about Smash Brothers characters, and like all of them are wrong. So I trust Bloomberg because that's a very established publication. They would not post this unless they felt that this was a credible source in some capacity. So we'll have to see. But with that, since I guess we have nothing else to talk about, unless you got final thoughts, Will.
I mean, to end that topic is like as we always tell you, Nintendo. Like one, like if you want to try something new, we're all definitely with you on that part. But again, remember, don't forget the fans that help you. We at least again, we don't want another Wii situation. Like yeah, you try to appeal, which has appealed to the casual, but you completely neglect the hardcore. And then with the Wii U, it's like, yeah, that thing was just a total disaster. And now you got back the hardcore fan base. So yes, you got back your fans. Like now you're at that good balance right now. Don't like try not to disrupt that delicate balance of what you have right now of balancing between hardcore and casual players because you're sitting pretty good as it is. As you said, 62 million users worldwide. So if you want to go try that Switch Pro model, I mean, just be careful how you're gonna deliver it, because again, presentation's everything, and first impressions on all that. So just be careful how if you're gonna pursue this Switch Pro model.
Well said. So with that, we are ending this episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. Tyler, oh wait, he's not here. He's still laying eggs.
I am still. I can't believe like how about that ratio. Come on. I am so sad. I
I
am
know.
so bloody sad. I think just how many people yeah, even with that pop, it's still, we've been talking this many times over on the Splatfest results. Like, of course, with Team Popular, it always seems to get the short end of the, I mean, again, there is that chance, and which you have not thought that there is that chance that Team Popular can still win if they just have to clinch the whole solo or professional league. But
Nope.
no, because our team, chicken. It was team unpopular. They get both wins. Like,
yep.
Jeez. I'm so salty. I'm sorry. I'm so salty.
Yeah. I mean, hey, if you like salted eggs, that's your fault. You just got to make sure you eat them when the chicken lays them, because the chicken came first! Yes! Yeah, this podcast is brought to you by KFC.
That would be something. I would like, yeah. Oh, no, not KFC, Popeyes. I prefer Popeyes over KFC.
Hey, whatever one wants to pay us, I don't care. You know, it's all about the money. It's all about the money, man. All right, so let us know, of course, what you thought about everything that went on this week. What did you think about the Nintendo Direct Mini and the games that were not shown? Are you curious about what happens to Pokemon Journeys in regards to Pikachu and Raichu? And of course, what is your thoughts on what the Switch Pro could be, should be, how the games are tailored for it, and so on and so forth? And of course, how many of you are Team Chicken and basking in the glory of our victory? Let us know in the comments below. So, for Wario Will, I am Terai Forsad, and ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. We are not out of lives. We made it to the end of the level, so raise the flag!